Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. A-Dream. In the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look.
Yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few positives. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. Positive, uplifting, and honest. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging that gold, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico. So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down relationships to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's Bree. Baby.
Well, peace and blessings and hello, hello, hello. I've missed you all. It's your girl, Bree, and you are tuned in to the Bree Life Radio Show. And tonight, my co-host is Red Sable.
Hey.
Red, you want to say hello to the nice people out there?
Hello, all.
And we're so glad to be back. The Bree Life Radio Show, as you all know, took a couple of months of hiatus time to reformat, regroup, reboot, recharge, and I'm back, and I'm back, and I'm better. So I want you all to look forward to some great programming that's going to be taking place from now to the end of the year. We have some great shows coming up, and I want you all to call in. I'd love to hear from you, but some of my Facebook friends and loyal listeners of the Bree Life Radio Show hit me up yesterday as soon as I sent the blog out to everyone that I was coming back and airing tonight. But Red and I, we would love to hear from you. So please call in to the show, 424-220-1862. That number again is 424-220-1862. You can also reach me at Bree Life Radio at Twitter and Bree Life Radio on Facebook. So before I begin my normal housekeeping and bringing some things up to date. Red, you want to tell us about what's been going on, what's pressing on your mind and heart? You want to share anything before we jump into the show?
Well, I didn't want to get heavily into any heavy topic to just start off, but today was a great day in New York. It was busy for me. Had a lot to do today.
Okay.
Catching up on some phone calls and that usual stuff. Connected with some friends, reconnected with some old colleagues. So that was a good thing.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, that's good to hear. Well, I want to tell everyone about the show that we're having tonight. Since it's our first show back, and normally my Wednesday shows are really formatted and geared towards particular topics, we're sort of gonna run on a Freestyle Thursday format today. So again, we'd love to hear from you. We want you calling in. That number again is 424-220-1862. Tonight we will be joined by Carl Joseph, who is the program director of Jericho Road, which is a domestic violence organization. So he'll be calling in to tell us about his organization, the services that they provide for the victims and survivors of domestic violence, along with his colleague, Tony Bascom, who is the program facilitator of Jericho Road. That'll be coming up at around 9:30. At 10 o'clock, I'll be joined with a gentleman by the name of Derek. I'm going to not share his last name. For those of you who don't know, I'm writing a book. I've been writing this book for almost a year now. And the subject matter is a topic that you've heard me talk about quite a bit on the show. And we even had about two shows dedicated to the topic, and that is internet dating. It's no secret to most of my friends and family and now my listenership that for the better part of 10 years, Red, I did a lot of internet dating. And I took the time to write a book about it. It's a good read. It's an easy read. It's funny. It's a tearjerker. There's some serious, serious issues in the book. It gives a snapshot of initially why and what circumstances led to me even wanting to cross over into this new phenomenon back in, well, it's not really new, because when you think about it, AOL was the first major internet media tool that people started to use to communicate over the internet. If there was another tool that preceded or that came before AOL, please call me. Please call in 424-220-1862 and correct me. But to my knowledge, that was my first. That was the first tool of media that I used to go on the internet and go into chat rooms and talk with people. But of course, there was one particular website that I did. I spent the better part of a decade off and on meeting people, and I talk about why I chose to do it, what circumstances provoked it. Each chapter represents a year of internet, of being on one or two internet dating sites and who I met and what our experiences were and how the dates went. I walked away with having a handful of friends, but I tell you honestly, Red, there's some kookaloo people out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you said that's what you have done, that's a very bold and brave choice in today's world, but even back when you was doing it, it was still in its stages. So that was even more of, you have to have a lot of courage to step out into that particular arena. I know I don't. I just I need to see a face. I can't do the whole, because I don't know what I'm getting. I have no idea if you're telling me the truth or if you're making up stories or if you're really some short, and that's not to say that short, bald men shouldn't get any play. I'm just saying that if you're going to be short and bald, then come and meet with me and be short and bald. Don't tell me you're some tall, 6'9", and muscular and all of this stuff, and then show up and you just look, you know, just wrong. So.
Crazy. Well, that's exactly, and I talk about, because I'll tell you very honestly, there was no shortage of people on these dating sites, and we have a friend of the Free Life Radio show. I don't know if you got a chance to meet him by the time you started getting involved with the show, but it's our very good friend Chris from Brooklyn, and we even integrated some of the things that he said on the show regarding internet dating. We'll play that commercial a little later.
Is that Ms.
About how they lie. And that's exactly what some people on these sites do. They misrepresent themselves. I talked about one of my dates many years ago. I think that date was 2000. That was May 2004, where I went on a date, and the person, of course, because I have, I tend to be far more attracted to men who are tall, usually 6'2" and above, and I made no. Bones about it by mentioning it in my profile. So the person claimed that they were 5'10", and I still agreed to meet them, you know, because we were having good dialogue over a series of weeks before we actually came face to face. And mind you, this person came from about 1,200 miles away to meet me. He lived in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Wow.
Yeah. And when I met him, when I met him at a TGI Fridays, and it was a Friday. It was Memorial Day weekend. It was packed. And I'm standing there waiting for him, and there were some young ladies that were celebrating, I guess, that it was Friday. And they saw that I was standing by myself, and they asked me if I wanted to hang out with them until whoever was coming to pick me up or, you know, join me came. And I said, sure. So now I'm drinking martinis, and we're laughing and joking. And then you know how usually it's just like in the movies or a television show, if there's somebody that you are meant to see on the opposite side of the room, and then all of a sudden the room, you know, people in the room start parting like the Red Sea, and the person's walking towards you.
Yeah.
Well, child, as the closer this guy got, the shorter he got. I mean, by the time we were, I won't say eyeball to eyeball because I'm not 5'3", okay? At that time, he was as tall as my, at that time, 9-year-old son.
Wow.
Yeah.
See? That's what I'm talking
lies,
about.
Lies, lies, lies. Chris, I know you out there laughing. Call it. So, you know, so that's what the book is. There's a lot of funny stories in there. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of, there's a couple of, you know, there's about a handful of drama in there. And just, you know, crazy people. Just crazy, crazy people. And also I can't forget that there were also, like I said, a handful of people who I managed to walk away being friends with. You know, my very good friend Kevin, Derek, who's going to be joining us this evening. He's one of the subjects of the book. My friend Michael, who lives in Philadelphia. I mean, these are all great guys. And sometimes just because it doesn't, you know, you can have a good experience when you meet somebody, whether it's conventionally, you know, as at a chance meeting in a lounge or on the internet. But you can walk away having a lifetime friend. And I've been very fortunate and lucky that these individuals, you know, I walked away having some really, really good friends. And I give them all a shout out. So I'm going to keep you guys up to date with the progress of the book. It should be out in print in January 2013. And I'll let you know all the book signings and everything. And who knows? Might make it into a movie. Wouldn't that be a concept?
Oh, my God. Yeah, that would be real interesting.
Could you imagine?
There's a demographic out there for that.
I tell you. So I just want to thank you all for following the Bree Life Radio Show and your continuous support. I received a lot of love. You guys showed me a lot of love on Facebook and inboxing me and texting me and letting me know that I was missed. And I know you and I had a conversation yesterday that he was saying that I was missed. So from the bottom of my heart, I just want to thank everyone for their support. And I'm looking forward to the weeks to come because we got some great programming coming up. But in the meanwhile, we're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the upcoming shows, the shows that are going to take place over the next 12 weeks. And also, if you have any show ideas, if you want to participate in a show, please, you can send me an email at breeliferadio@gmail.com. You can also, again, reach out to me on Facebook at Bree Life Radio and Twitter. But in the meanwhile, we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be back in a few.
If you didn't tune into the Bree Life Radio show on Wednesday, this is what you missed.
Hey, Mark. Mark, yeah, check it out, Mark. If they give it up too easy sometimes, I mean, if vagina was a stock, it would plummet. It will plummet because you give it away too easy.
You hear that, ladies? There is a brother on the line that's saying that the ladies are giving it up too easy.
And this?
We want a lot more than sex, too. We want to be loved. We want to be respected. We want a whole lot of that will make the sexual experience that much more enhanced.
We can't forget about this.
Tony, you heard that. Do you know she's taking the easy way out of this one? You know what she's doing. Come on, Bree.
Wow. No, listen. I say you have to be honest. You have to be honest with your partner of what the deal breakers are.
It's real talk about real life. Inhale and breathe light.
No, we breathing light. We ain't breathing heavy now. Right.
It's the Bree Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Check us at blogtalkradio.com/ Bree Life.
What you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree Life.
How we live in life.
And we're back. You have come back to the Bree Life Radio Show. And I'm joined tonight with my co-host, Red Sable. Welcome back, Red.
Hello.
Well, we have come to the point of the show where I want to do some basic housekeeping. So this is a part of the show where I just give my shout-outs. And, you know, the first thing I want to do is I want to talk about the upcoming debate tomorrow briefly and remind everyone that you must vote. Don't care who you vote for. I mean, I care, but we have this right and we should exercise it. So I want everyone to go out and vote. If you have not registered, register. And you know what? Also, when Barack Obama was a candidate for the presidency 4 years ago, I did something that I really thought was cool and monumental because I didn't know if we'd ever have, as people of color, the opportunity to vote for an African-American president again. If you have children or a child, or if you don't have a child and you have godchildren or you're mentoring a child, and you go and vote, take them out there. Take them to the vote, to the polls, and let them have an opportunity to see the process and what happens on election day. Take them in the voting booth. I don't know what the rules and regulations in certain states are on that, but, you know, where I live and my voting district in Brooklyn, I had the good – I was very fortunate to have the opportunity to take my son into the booth. I checked off Barack Obama and I let him pull the lever, and I took a picture of him doing that. And we always talk about that, you know, because it happened. We weren't sure that it was going to happen, that we were going to be fortunate enough to have African-American president, the first one of the United States. But, you know, I my son is now 15. At the time, he was 11 going on 12 or maybe 12 at the time. I thought that it was a great experience for him, and, you know, we talk about that. So I urge and I encourage those who have children, they might want to take them to the voting polls and allow their children to be a part of the experience. I mean, my son is gonna come with me to the voting booth, and we're gonna do it again. So that's all I want to say about that. And the vice presidential debate is tomorrow, and I believe it starts at 9:00. So we really need to see, you know, what the candidates have to say. I mean, what do you think about that, Red?
Well, I think that, I want to first not sway either way on whether or not you're going to, how you're going to vote and whatever you decide to do. I do suggest that because we are in such a, for lack of a better word, an infringed moment, where the second that you say that you're going to vote for either party, it starts a huge debate and, in some cases, quite volatile moments. And so I was watching a talk show earlier, and they spoke about a very well-known actress who decided that she wanted to vote Republican because she felt that she had been disillusioned by this particular administration and that she felt that he had his time. So now she's going to vote on the opposite side because she feels like that particular person can do better. And she was slammed for that. She was slammed with death threats and all the kind of negative and derogatory comments that were sent to her on her Facebook page and Twitter and so on and so forth, stating that because she is a black woman, that she should be voting black, that it doesn't matter. He had not gotten enough time to do all the things that he could have possibly be able to do to fix what happened before he got there. So why would she dump him out and then vote for the other side when she had not ever voted that way at all? And my thing is that it turned into a racial debate when she, in herself, she is biracial. Not that that matters, but at the point since this became a racial debate, it became a question of she's biracial. So if she chooses to vote either way, whether he would be a black man or a white man, it is her choice to be able to vote that way. Now, should she have announced that to anybody? I would not have taken that chance to announce it to anyone because the way you vote is a personal thing. It is your choice.
Exactly.
And it is something that you should be able to do on your own without ridicule from anybody, no matter who they are. And some very well-known people got at her, and they said some very unkind things to her. And, again, I don't think that this woman in her mid to late 40s was voting based on something ridiculous like, okay, well, I like the skin color. He didn't work out, so I'm going to go and vote the other side. I don't think that that was the option that she made. Clearly, I believe that she has become just like a lot of people. And to be quite honest, there are a lot of African-American folks out there who have lost their faith in this administration and who wish that they could have seen what was coming before it arrived. But no one could have saw that. And, again, did make some strides, and he did do the best that he could. And going in, he always said, and he kept it real, there is going to be some problems. We are going to be hurting for a while, but I need you all to ride with me through this, and we will come out on the other side. And people seem to forget that. So I'm not understanding why the attack on her was as vicious as it was. It just didn't make any sense to me. But again, like I said, she made it public that she would be making this particular choice, and perhaps moving forward, she won't be making such a public announcement based on a personal choice like that again in the future.
Well, here's what I say about that. First of all, we've voted for those who have exercised their right to vote since we've been given the right to vote. We've been voting for white presidential candidates forever. I'm sure that there are some people that may have voted merely on the fact that Barack Obama was an African American. Personally, I would not have voted for him if I didn't think that he had the capacity to do the job better than any other presidential candidate. I would not be voting for him again if I did not think that he had the capacity to move forward with his platform and to try to improve upon the things that are broken in the system, more importantly, or not most importantly, but I mean with the jobs, the lack of jobs, the economy, and education, which seems to be one of the most important topics that he discussed in the presidential debate a week ago. So vote your conscience, people, but just vote, you know.
Absolutely.
And again, like Red said, it is a personal thing. It's completely up to you who you want to vote for whatever your reasons are. Because I don't think this actress gave rational reasons as to why she chose to go to the Republican side and to vote for Mitt Romney. Mm-hmm. But whether her reasons are rational or irrational,
they're hers.
Substantial, they're
mm-hmm.
hers. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on from that, I want to also. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I would like to, you know, just acknowledge those who have lost their fight with the fights with breast cancer, and also to acknowledge those who are currently in the fight and those who have been victorious and are living healthy and well, you know, as a result of being subject to this monster disease.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, who is a breast cancer survivor of 18 years, Shirley, you know, much love to you. A very good friend of mine, his mother, she's been a breast cancer survivor for over 20-plus years. So I just want to give shout-outs to both my moms, my mom and my surrogate mom, and to acknowledge Breast Cancer Awareness Month and to encourage people to give to those very important causes, because without the donations, the continuing development of drugs and just treatment can't be available to those who have coverage and those who don't. Okay, so support the cause. Also, I want to, on a brighter note, my big brother, Gary Collins, has gotten engaged. And congratulations, Gary, from the Bree Life Radio Show. We love you. And his beautiful bride-to-be, Dorothy, will be getting married on 12-12-12 at 12. What a concept. So big up, Gary, from Crown Heights. All my Crown Heights people out there listening, I love you. Gary is getting married. Hallelujah. Also, I just want to send a shout-out to one of my, also another young lady that grew up in Crown Heights. Her name is Donnelly Berry, and just want to send a blessings out to her mother, who is not well. We want to send her blessings and get well wishes from the Bree Life Radio Show. And I think that's about it for the housekeeping. Before we go to commercial break, what I'd also like to do and take the time to do is just to talk about the upcoming shows, the shows that we're going to do our best to air between now and the end of the year. Again, we are going to there are two shows in particular we'll be revisiting. One, the internet dating show, which is, you know, a segue to my book release. I don't have a name for it yet. You know what, people, to my loyal listeners out there, hey, if you got some great ideas for what my book could be called, send them in. BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. Send me what you think might be a great title for the book. I'll be looking forward to that. Also, there have been some new bills that have, I think, actually passed and are now laws with regards to support and child custody. So we're going to have our good friend General Parker and his colleague from the American, his organization is Fathers Inc., and we're going to have him back on the show to talk about the new updates in the law and also his personal triumph. We're gonna have a show on the economy, and that'll probably be around Election Day, so you can look forward to hearing the show on that. We're gonna also, Red, this is a show that I would love for you to co-host with me. It's one of our show ideas from several months ago that we never got a chance to actually do, but we're gonna talk about women in their 40s. You know, and for all my women listeners out there, I really want you to call in and participate. And also,
yes,
please give us some great ideas. Or so, if you don't want to be on the air and you just want to have what is in your mind and heart, what's pressing on your heart to say, send it in to BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. And we'll be glad to share it with the listeners.
Absolutely.
We're also going to have a show on domestic violence. And this is a very interesting topic because I find that it, along with internet dating and how it has become a part of mainstream, you could turn on any given channel, any time of the day or night, and see, you know, advertisements for different websites. Also, what has become a part of our mainstream, more so now than I think any other time in the world, like our parents, I don't think their time had experienced this one particular topic, and that is raising stepchildren. I find that now there are more blended families than ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
That I can remember. And it's a really, you know, serious topic because it is a challenge to meet someone, fall in love, that has children or a child. And now and they may have full custody, they might have shared custody, which means that, you know, The child is with them 50% of the time. And now you have to become blended into their unit and somehow integrate them into yours. I was talking with a woman over the summer, and she was telling me how challenged she is because it's in her 40s. She never thought that she would be raising young children again because she's in her late 40s, and her children are grown and out the door. They out the house. And then she met a man who has two children, and she ain't really feeling being a stepmom, you know? And what I say is that, you know, when you meet somebody and they have children, they come as a package deal. You know what you're getting, you know? And so you have to make a conscious choice because you don't want your ill feelings to spill over. And if you think children are not receptive, they can't pick up on vibes, and if you're not feeling them, you're sorely mistaken. As a matter of fact, I think children are very good barometers for the integrity of grown people.
Yes, they are.
You know?
They are very instinctive.
Mm-hmm. So we're gonna have that show. We're also going to talk about sexual disorders because that's another topic that's come across my desk and come across my path over the last few months. Men and women who have sexual disorders. We're going to talk about that because especially men and women in their late 30s all the way into their 50s, this is common talk now. And it's common talk because people are not taking care of themselves, you know, so they're challenged with a lot of different things, both men and women, because women have libido issues.
Mm-hmm.
Men have performance issues. So we're going to talk about that. Also, which is something that I have had to do as a woman in my 40s, in this day and age, in this bad economy, I have been faced with having to reinvent myself. So that's what the show is going to be about, reinventing yourself in today's economy and with all the challenges that you face day to day.
Mm-hmm.
Reinventing yourself. You might have worked in a particular career field, and now you have suddenly found yourself unemployed. You might have your master's in social work, and now you find yourself working in retail. You might have been an airline flight attendant, but because, you know, the economy has changed, people are not flying as much, people are getting laid off, you finding yourself doing different things. You might be a home health attendant now, you know. Reinventing yourself because you have to survive. You have to work. You know, if you are lower income or middle class, you got to work.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So we're going to talk about that. Another topic, which I've been constantly surrounded by, and this topic is more relevant for this time of the year as we're approaching the holidays, forgiveness. You have family members that you might be at odds with. You have a boyfriend, a girlfriend that you're at odds with. But now you are facing holidays where you might have to cross paths with these people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're carrying around a lot of issues that have not been dealt with. How does one forgive? Well, we're gonna have a relationship specialist come on and talk about that because especially around holiday time, it's a challenge. And also just being able to forgive once your heart has been broken, so that you can move on and become a better you for a better person. You know, we're going to talk about that. Alternative lifestyles. I've learned that there are many out there. I don't know where I've been, living in a plastic bubble or something, because I have recently learned that there are many alternative lifestyles. And we're going to get some people to come on and talk about them, open relationships and all other types of things. It's going to be very interesting. Another topic that we're going to talk about, I was just having this conversation over dinner this evening as I was preparing for the show, is coming out, letting your friends and family know that you're gay. And how does one really do that? And when do you think you're ready to do it? What causes you to be in a place that it's absolutely the time now to let everybody know? And how does one do that so that it's received well? But there's going to be a spin on this. I want, and I hope my listeners, you know, can, if there are any listeners out there that, any of the topics that I'm talking about that want to participate in any of those shows, again, reach us at BreeLifeRadio.com, at gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BreeLifeRadio. But you can inbox me at those two. But this particular topic, I want for there to, if there are women that not have always known that they were gay, but suddenly have decided to cross over and be a part of this particular lifestyle because they're just completely dismayed with the men that they've been subject to, those are the women that I want to talk to. I want to talk to recently women who have recently just said, you know what, God made man and he made woman, and those are the only two that I got to choose from. And I've been on this side, and it ain't working. So I think I'm going to try something new. Okay? So those are the women that I want to talk to. And also, and this topic in particular, because I have actually been subject to this, I want to know, should you maintain your friendships with the opposite sex when you have suddenly found yourself in a relationship or are getting married? There are actually people out there that will tell you that you can't be friends with somebody anymore because of their own personal insecurity. And there are people that will allow themselves to be subject to that behavior. I think that that is ridiculous. But that's my opinion. I want to hear from everybody else. And if you have something to say about it tonight, feel free to call us at 424-220-1862. We want to talk to you. And then finally, I want to talk about the state of education, and not only just in New York State, but across the country. And we're going to have a bunch of people calling in and chiming in, a bunch of guests that are going to be joining us for that particular show. I'm lining up state senators, education specialist. It's going to be a really good show. And I'm also going to try to do that within the next couple of weeks. So without further ado, we are going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by, we're going to be joined with Carl Joseph from Jericho Roads and his colleague Tony Bascom. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello? It is very common to hear people use the phrase, I'm going to be me, 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 me. I'm not changing for anybody. And they use that phrase a lot of times to suggest that nothing's wrong with them and they're fine with being who they are. But here's a question. What happens when being you leaves you with only you? You know, like you're acting the way you act and people leave the room.
You lose 2 or 3 friends at a time.
You talk to the mirror more than you talk to your best friend.
You take long walks in the park holding your own hand.
My suggestion is don't change. Don't change. Because, after all, you like being you. Now, here's some problems with being you. Not considering you may end up walking through the room holding your own hand by yourself. But that's okay, because guess what? You're still being you. So, if you're liking it, I'm loving it. And remember, don't stop being you.
Don't you change, baby.
Not for anybody. Even yourself. This has been Mark Said It in under a minute. In 1 second
of 1 minute,
it only takes one word, one gesture, one story, one idea,
one
image, one hug, one kiss, one smile, one hand, one look, one touch, one dream.
Everybody got a dream.
One gift. And one person to do one of these things to make one difference. Oh, yeah. Before I go.
One thought.
One thought.
One thought.
Will you be the one to do at least one of these things? Today's segment has been brought to you by the number.
One.
It's been Mark Said It in under
1 minute.
And we're back. You are listening to the Bree Life Radio Show, and I'm your host, Bree. And I'm joined tonight with my co-host, Red Sable.
It's Red. Me.
And I want to just thank all the listeners. I want to thank all the people who continue to support the show. Mm-hmm. And without further ado, we're about to be joined by Carl Joseph. He is the program director for Jericho Roads, which is a domestic violence organization, and I will let him come on and tell us about what his organization provides in the way of mentorship and pointing people in the direction of just empowerment.
Hello.
Carl.
How you doing?
Hi, Carl.
How you doing, Sabrina? My colleague is a little tied up, but I'm on here right now.
Okay, well, we're glad to have you, and we'll welcome him when he's ready. I want to introduce you to my co-host, Red Sable, and to the listener.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine.
Thank you for joining us.
You're quite welcome.
Yeah. So, Carl, tell us about Jericho Roads. What is Jericho Roads?
Well, Jericho Roads was an extension of nonprofit organization that just had a heart to bring education and empowerment. You said the word completely before I even came on. You said the word empowerment. And that's what we do. We offer domestic violence seminars, different topics of domestic violence seminars to empower people and bring people aware of the issues of domestic violence. And more we do it, the more we know, we realize that people, a lot of people don't know what domestic violence is. They think like it's physical and so much more than that. And we just bring education and bring awareness and empowerment and inform people on the different issues and with different issues of domestic violence and bringing awareness to different issues that go along with it and empower others. We bring people who have been in domestic violence with us to our seminars. They give their story. They're able to talk with people. And right in the middle of the seminars, a lot of people will begin to tell their own story. And it's something that we realize they've been keeping in for so long. But because there's someone around them is opening up, it gives them the power and strength to open up.
Well, I think what you are doing for the public, it's a great service. And it's one that is very much needed. As you and I had a brief discussion yesterday, we both know that there are larger organizations that don't really facilitate and help the victims and the survivors of domestic violence as they really should from a grassroots level.
Right.
Tell us, you know, what type of, other than just being able to come to one of your seminars and to share a story, to share their story, what other types of information do you give the survivors?
It's not so much the survivors. Some survivors are in there, but we do give them the warning signs of domestic violence and things to look out for in terms of getting involved in a relationship, or if you're in a relationship, maybe seeing some of the warning signs that this may be some kind of relationship I don't need to be a part of. We have had women come to us and say, you know, if I had known this beforehand, I wouldn't have said I do.
Okay.
I mean, we did a seminar. A woman came up to me and said, I would have never gotten married if I had seen these warning signs, had known that these were warning signs for potential domestic violence and getting physical. And, of course, domestic violence is not just physical. It's emotional. It's financial. It's spiritual. It's a lot of different things. Because there are pastors abusing parishioners, too. But that's a whole other topic. But okay. In terms of, now, if we have people that are in survivors or know people who are survivors, a lot of people do come and say, my friend is in it, and I don't know what to do. We do provide references to services with people we have relationships with. So one of them we will talk about, we'll refer them to the Family Justice Center, which is, we're based in Brooklyn, New York, so we refer most of the people to Brooklyn. And
okay.
The Family Justice Center is a service, all-in-one service, one-stop shop for domestic violence victims. It's right downtown
okay.
Brooklyn. A lot of people don't know, and when we do it, they're like, we didn't even know that existed, Brooklyn. I said, well.
Now, is that in the criminal court building?
In the criminal court, right on, right, Livingston Street, right there where Charles, Charles Hines is located. He was
okay.
in domestic violence, so he started this whole section floor of his office just to provide services, a one-stop place for them to get all the services they need. Because they realize a lot of times when you're in a domestic violence situation, you're emotionally distraught. You don't have time to go to different agencies to get the services you need, but this is a one-stop where they provide everything right then and there. So if you look at the housing, you'll find the housing. If you look for shelter, you get it right through there. You don't have to go to all the different agencies to get all the services a domestic violence victim may need. You get it in one place.
Now,
so we do that. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Do you also provide services for women who are in the midst of trying to get away from a particular situation and they happen to call in the middle of the night, let's say?
Yeah, we don't get in the middle of the night, but we do get calls from people in terms of a woman who may have been in a domestic violence situation and she may need food
mm-hmm.
at a particular time, or she may be in a shelter and needs food. So we actually provide food for a number of people. But if we're not, sometimes we get calls from people who are in Harlem, and we're in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, the victim is in Brooklyn, is in Harlem, can you refer to services or shelters in that area? And that's what we refer them to one we may know, or I may look up one and tell us, this is where you go to get the food, and this is where you go get this. And we do that. But we're more as far as service, we may offer group support group meetings. We do that.
Okay.
So if someone's in a domestic violence situation, or you may not know they're in one, but it is happening. We offer support groups, so they're welcome to that.
Okay.
Now, just a question for you. You
mm-hmm.
talked earlier about the signs, the warning
mm-hmm.
signs that a lot of people don't recognize.
They
could
don't
you
recognize.
Could you just share with our listeners? You know, potentially, because I'm sure that you never know, there may be a woman or a man, because
true.
Domestic violence is not gender specific.
Absolutely
okay?
not.
I just want to say that because
I
know.
I like to a little emphasis on that. We tend to, when we do our seminars, the men are in the audience, we kind of let their guard is up, because usually when you do domestic violence seminars, it's always geared toward the man being the abuser. But then we bring statistics in where women have used. And they go, oh, okay. Now they feel comfortable to kind of talk. But in most scenarios that we've seen, they're always badgering the man. And, of course, 80% of domestic violence situations are the perpetrator. The man is the perpetrator. But about 20-25% are women perpetrating. And I think we need to bring awareness to that also. We tend, in my experiences, we're dealing with different groups. They always want to demonize the man. They always want to demonize him. And I'm like, but wait a minute. Women do it also.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of abusive women out there, and you need to understand that you can't make it all one-sided. It's both sides of this story here. And we tell the warning signs. We just did it for a high school class, and I ran through the warning signs, and one young lady kept stopping me and saying, you mean to tell me if my boyfriend shows up and he knows where I am, and I didn't know he was going. He pops up out of nowhere. That's a sign of abuse. I say, yeah. He says, he is following you, and you don't know it. You go to your girlfriend's house, and he's there. He shows up there, and you didn't tell him you were going to be there. How does he know that? Because he's been tracking your footsteps. Well, we always tell him, I said, I don't know no woman that wants to be around a man 24/7. When you have a person that always wants you to be around them, that's a warning sign because they're controlling your environment. If you have someone who doesn't want you around your family members and always say, no, you're not going to the family function, no, you're staying here with me, that's a warning sign. Because a lot of domestic violence, their whole key is controlling them and isolating them, especially from their family. We tell you, women who are single women, with particularly young girls, I said, do you know that abuser will single out your daughter because she knows there's no father in the home? They actually will go out and look for that type of young lady because there's no big brother, there's no daddy, ain't no father around, no male figure around to hold that man accountable, that young man accountable. They'll pursue that young lady because they feel they can control her more because there's no father around.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and then we talk about the warning signs of always making excuses. Oh, he's just tired. Oh, he was just stressed out, or she was just stressed out. And I'm like, that's no excuse for nobody to hit you because they're stressed out. They can walk out the door. We did this for a group of seventh graders. Mm-hmm. And did one young boy kept saying, "What?" I said, have you ever been in a situation where a girl will provoke you, a young lady? He said, yeah. I said, what do you do? Well, I fight her back. I said, well, why you fight her back? Well, she's provoking me. I said, but that's not her responsibility. That's your responsibility. Well, she's the one pushing me. I said, no. I said, you're blaming her for your choice. I said, you can get up and walk away. And he fought me. But she's I don't care how far she'll push you. Women will push you. Women will take it to see how far they can push you. But my point of the matter is you can get up and walk away. So he tried to throw a lot of times perpetrators of domestic violence always blame the woman. They always, well, you made me do that. I said, no, she didn't. Take responsibility for your own actions. And what I've learned in this situation is that no man is going to respect any woman until he first respects himself. Until he respects himself, he's not going to respect no woman. And we always tell women, like, you know, you don't want to demonize him. You don't want to make him look bad. He's this really bad person instead of trying to understand where he's coming from. See, I grew up in an emotionally abusive home. I didn't grow up in a physically abusive home, but I grew up in an emotionally abusive home with my father. And I try to understand as I got, like, as a kid, you don't understand. But as you get older, you try, okay, let me try to reason this out, or why this man behaves this way. Why is this man so verbally abusive? And it just happened to be one day my sister was getting married. And my cousins that my father grew up with were there. And my cousin just said, you know what, when your father was a little, just out of blue city, when your father was a little boy, we used to beg my father to take him home. I said, why? He said, because your great-grandmother was so verbally abusive to him. She would just mistreat him. And remember, children are sponges. So children are going to soak up everything that's going on around them. So that's why he behaved this way. So once I understood the root of the issue and the root of where the problem was, I could forgive him. Because I already talked about forgiveness earlier. See, you can't forgive unless you have understanding.
Exactly.
And until you get the understanding, you'll never forgive. So once I understood why his behavior was learned behavior from his great-grandmother who raised him and was a drinker. So I used to wonder, why my father likes hostile environment? Because that's what he grew up in. It's comfortable to him. So a lot of times when you're looking at the abuser, sometimes try to understand where they're coming, whether it's a male or female. Because we always get, when we do the seminars with kids who are in basketball, young men. And I always bring up the topic of Halle Berry. I always say, beautiful young lady, but there's a pattern in her life. I said, I know it. I said, she goes from one guy to the next. I said, she's been married 3 times. I said, are you telling me every man is wrong? I said, there's a pattern. When I read the Essence article on her, she's very bitter and angry toward her father. So if a man does anything that triggers that anger in her, they're dead. And I guarantee, I told them, I said, she's the common denominator in every relationship, not the men. The men are all different. You mean to tell me all of them are wrong? You can't tell me all of them are wrong. And I told him, this was Monday night. I said, I guarantee you, you're going to hear in the news she broke up with the model, the father of her child. The news article came out Friday that she broke up with him. I said, it doesn't make a difference what man she's with. Until she resolves the issue with her daddy, no man is going to have a chance. And it works the other way, too. It worked the other way, too, with a man and his mother. It worked the same exact way. And I had to deal with that. I said, if you angry with your mama, you're not going to have no good relationship with no woman because that's the first woman in your life. And if you can't get along with her.
If you're not given the proper tools in order to get to the root of why you are behaving the way you're behaving and choosing the people that you're choosing, then you don't know if there's a problem. I have watched Halle Berry over the years, and I have seen her boo-hoo crying with Oprah on television saying that
she
knows that the problem exists. She knows that she does have an issue, but she does not know what those issues are. And until she is able to sit before someone and hash out whatever that tool is that she needs so she can recognize the continued pattern, then she's going to continue to make bad choices. But that's what everybody, every single
one. That's what everyone, That's what everybody, and that's what we try to bring to the seminars, patterns. Because if you don't recognize the patterns in your life, you're going to keep repeating them, and you're going to keep wondering why. See, that's why it's important to have somebody on the outside looking in, because when you're in it, you don't see it. But if you have accountability around you, if you have accountability around you, you have a real good friend or a real accountable person that says, look, man, look what you're doing. Hold on. Maybe you're not aware of what you're doing, but check out what you're doing. And if someone loves you and makes you aware of it, it's fine. And I also believe in getting professional help. A lot of, and particularly in our community, in our black community, that's something that seems so taboo in my experience. I said there's nothing wrong with going to a therapist and letting them see it.
Well, I want to take the time right now to give a more formalized definition of domestic violence because a lot of people don't really understand what it is. You know, domestic violence can be defined as a pattern of abusive behavior in any relationship that is used by one partner to gain or maintain power and control over another intimate partner.
You did it right on the violence, spot.
Right. Domestic violence can be physical, sexual, emotional, economic, psychological, or psychological actions or threats of actions that influence another person. This includes any behaviors that intimidate, manipulate, humiliate, isolate, frighten, terrorize, coerce, threaten, blame, hurt, injure, or wound someone. So
that's absolutely correct.
For those out there that did not have a clearer understanding of what domestic violence is, that's it in a nutshell.
Absolutely.
And if it's something that you're experiencing, you should pick up the phone and dial 911 and get some help.
Absolutely. And the thing about it is a lot of times I've in the past he's emotionally abusive, he's physically abusive, and people don't understand. Like you said, there's economic abuse. You know, you come from a time back in the 1950s, and a lot of women didn't go to school. They didn't go to school. They stayed home and were homemakers. And when he was abusive, they had no way out. They were like, how do I get out of this? Because, you see, people always want to judge based on what they think what the situation is. But every situation is different. No one she may not jump out and leave immediately. But today's world, there's too many services that they offer it. But I'm talking about people bash the woman for staying. I said, you don't understand where her mind is at the time. That's why it's so important to have a group session like what we do, we do it here. We have groups, support groups. A number of women in our organization have been through domestic violence situations. And because they came together, it helped some other women come out of the situation because there were some that didn't believe they could come out. But when they said, no, you can't come out, we're here to support you. Support is so important around you. And Sabrina, we talked about that yesterday, about who you have around you.
Yeah.
How important that is, because who you have around you can either break you or make you. That's very important.
Exactly, which is a perfect segue to what I wanted to share about domestic violence, is that especially now in the socioeconomic times that we're dealing in, where the economy is so bad, there aren't any jobs. You may have a person that is staying in a very bad, and I know that this particular situation is one that is more commonly exercised by women than all the other aspects of domestic violence. People stay in an emotional bad situation, or they'll stay in a verbally abusive bad situation because they have no place else to go. They might have not been working. They might have lost their job, and they're no longer working. And let me just tell you, for those who've never been married or never cohabitated with a person, there are two things, and you might have heard it, might not have heard it before, there are two reasons why problems in a marriage or a cohabitative relationship usually take place. And the top one being, I think more importantly now so, over infidelity, is financial. Mm-hmm. There is financial pressure and disdain in the household.
Absolutely.
When someone loses their job,
mm-hmm.
and now you've got this additional financial weight, that's where you really see who and what you're working with. Because
that's why it's so important. You can't judge every situation like that. You have to look at all the factors involved.
Exactly. But when the factors cause a person to come outside of themselves and to now start exercising abuse over their partner that can't do anything for them, so they cannot. They can do something for themselves, but financially they are bound to this situation because they might not have a support system.
Mm-hmm.
They may not have family and friends that they could turn to. They might be in a relationship where they have children in common or extended children that they have to be responsible for. You know, it's a really bad situation when someone has to get their ass whooped just to have a roof over their head.
Right.
And that's what a lot of people, a lot of women experience because of their circumstance.
And absolutely, and the shelter system is getting so crowded for domestic violence, they don't even have room in a lot of shelters anymore. Especially in New York, recently this article came out. They're so crowded, they're beginning not to have room for all the domestic violence situations that have been coming up. And it's so true. Money plays a big role in domestic violence. And not to say that's a justification for you beating on somebody, but it's a pressure that a lot of people cannot handle, and they'll take it on their significant other.
So I have a question, because I always find it real interesting that, I mean, we are in 2012 going into
mm-hmm.
2013, and domestic violence, although it never had a name, has existed for years.
Absolutely.
And they just never called it that. It was just
right. You
do what your husband tells you to do and shut the
hell up. It's very interesting you're saying that. Let me just, because when I talk to the older generation of people, and you talk to the newer generation, their whole mindset is different. When you talk to women who came up and talk to women who grew up in the 50s, they were like, we didn't talk about that. When the police came, they just told them to walk around the block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're like, and when we talk about what the services and everything offered today, they're like, man, I wish they had that back when I was covered up.
Mm.
So it's very interesting to hear the older generation talk about it. So continue.
Yeah. So my question is that, I find it really interesting that we are addressing the issue with the women, trying to get them help, absolutely, and the men who are being abused, absolutely. But are there being services for the abusers? Because I thought that why, if you're going to fix the disease, then fix the disease in its entirety, not
you
just
have to deal with
a quick portion of it.
Absolutely.
But then you still have the rest of the remnants of everything else that's running around. So that particular person who's left her situation or his situation doesn't fix the person who was doing it. So now he's free to do it to someone else.
You hit it right on the head, and that goes back to what
and
I
if
said
I could,
earlier.
If I could just expand on that.
Okay, go ahead.
We have issues that really need to be addressed by some lawmakers. One in particular, and that is when, I'm going to give you a scenario. A woman has been abused by her partner or her husband. She has lived with him for several years and have acquired things together.
Mm-hmm.
He beats her. He's arrested, placed in jail, convicted twice of domestic battery. Now, in an effort for him and to get back at her, he places charges against her because guess what? She was given an opportunity by the judge to get the hell away from him.
Right.
And she gets away. And she takes her stuff and takes things in common. And then this woman gets arrested and placed in jail for leaving and taking what belonged to her.
Yeah, that's why some of the laws do have to be, they do have stuff, they have to be changed.
How
they do.
Unbalanced is that?
It's very unbalanced.
How do you even entertain pressing charges against a victim?
Right, it's crazy.
By their abuser.
You're absolutely right, because we've had a discussion even when it came the other way around also in terms of men, women calling and getting the man arrested. He didn't abuse her. Falsely accused of abusing her. He has no access to his children, right? And the judge sides with her. I'm like, something is wrong with this picture. Something is wrong with the pattern, and it, like you said, there has to be some legislation put together to stop these type of things because it's very unbalanced, extremely.
And what's
happening now, you see a lot of men organizations coming up, calling it parent. Now, some men are being alienated from their children, but some men are just using that as a way who are abusive, to keep in touch with the wife. You know what I'm saying? So they claim, mm-hmm. you're keeping my children away from me. But you're abusing them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I want you to participate in one of our future shows, which is a topic that we're revisiting, and that's child custody and support.
Okay.
Because there's been some new updates in legislation and things of that nature, but we're going to have a panel of directors of these two programs in particular. One is the American Society of Fathers, and the other
mm-hmm.
one is Fathers, Inc.
Oh, okay.
And I think that it would be good to have a contrast of talking about, because that's one of the things that several gentlemen on the show brought up,
mm-hmm.
is that women falsely accused, and they
right.
use that tool of violence. They use
right.
that as a weapon to get law enforcement involved so that they could have distance between them and the person,
right.
the other parent, so
absolutely.
That they can manipulate the system.
Exactly. It happens a lot.
It happens, and it happens on both ends.
Yes, it does.
It's not right. It is
nope.
not right, and there should be some legislation. But see, that's what... See, going through the whole process.
Yeah, I understand your point of what you said yesterday. All of this has to be addressed.
That's what discovery is about. That's
right.
what discovery is about. You are supposed to research. If there has been former charges, if there have been former allegations of a person being abused, if there are pictures that the person has been beaten by this individual, and that's a part of the discovery in court.
Absolutely.
There should be some notation in that case file that any future allegations from the
yep.
abuser should not
right.
even be entertained.
Right. I agree with you totally. Absolutely. Because now it's mandatory that cops, even if it's just an inkling of domestic violence, they must write a report. They must. It's by law, they must write a report now. They
well,
didn't have to do it before, but they have to do it now.
For just a second. I want to put you on pause for just a second because one of our beloved co-hosts, Mark in Houston, Texas, is now on the line, and I believe he wants to chime into our dialogue. So we're going to bring him on and welcome
okay.
him.
Okay.
Hello.
Peace
What's
and blessings.
Be Live Radio
brother.
Show.
That's
hey,
Mark. How are you?
What's going on, Red?
Hey, honey, how are you?
I'm well.
We want to welcome you back to the show. And tonight we're being joined with the program director of Jericho Road. His name is Carl Joyce Joseph. Say hello to Carl.
How you doing, Carl?
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. I've been listening to the dialogue, and you know, what kind of caught my ear was when you started talking about legislation, and I think this. I live in Houston, Texas, and I don't know if you know anything about Texas, but Texas is like one of the leading places where executions for murder. You know, when it comes to states, they probably lead in executions. And one thing I know about law is this, that is something that, you know, we utilize to address the ills of society, but law never fixes the ills of society. And that was earlier what Carl was saying about the educational process. One thing about law is this, in the state of Texas where people know that you can – obviously, you can be put to death. It's not stopping them from doing it, from killing. So what we have found out, if we look at history, we look at when we see major changes shift in society, they usually don't happen because of law, but they happen because of a consciousness shift. So when people see things differently, they do things differently. And as a whole right now, we just have, and I think we're in a really weird place, because when you all were talking about the financial piece, when I look at the black neighborhood, and we've had this conversation in a few in past shows, and we're looking at the black neighborhood right now, the unemployment rate is higher amongst black men than it is amongst black women, which is a kind of an interesting shift considering the fact that a lot of women are dependent upon men. But I'm seeing a shift, at least down here in Texas. I don't know about it in New York.
You're dependent upon the woman.
Yes, yes.
You're dependent upon the woman.
Which creates a whole different dynamic of stress. Because now you got somebody that is dependent upon you, and you are a man, so you still have the traditional concept of who you're supposed to be. So now I'm trying to control a scenario that I have no control over, per se.
Right.
Don't have as much control over, so to speak. So it was quite an interesting dynamic, and I just was listening to the conversation about legislation, and I know I understand the piece of the law, but people who are intent on breaking it, manipulating it,
don't care about the law.
They don't. We have to get somebody to care about, and like you were saying about a man or a woman, a person who loves themselves, who enjoys the beauty of who they are. It's impossible for them not to enjoy the beauty of another human being because,
right.
You know, they always say there's no love that doesn't start with you.
Right.
So,
I totally agree.
You know, so, you know, and that's and all
what
that
I would like
that.
To do. What right. I would like to do at this time, I want for us to continue, but I want to take a commercial break, and we'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the Breed Life Radio Show, and we'll be right back.
Everybody's looking for a leader.
So how's that working for you, buddy?
The next Martin Luther King, Malcolm X.
I don't know, Marcus Garvey.
You figure it out.
But here's the question. What if you walk down the street yourself?
Yourself?
Yourself. Oh, I know. You're waiting for that glory bus to come and pick you up. Well, you just sit there and wait.
And wait. And wait.
And maybe, and just maybe, you might get picked up. But here's a novel idea. Walk down the street yourself.
Just walk down the street yourself.
You know, as many leaders as we have had, you think you have leader practice by now. So you should be ready to lead yourself down the street. Because, hey, you never know. You might get there. Just having fun, folks. This has been Mark Said It in under a minute.
Oh, and we're back. And we are back, and this is the Blue Life Radio Show, and I'm joining you tonight with my co-host, Red Sable, and now Mark in Houston, Texas. And our guest tonight is Carl Joseph from the organization Jericho Roads, and we're having great dialogue. So I want to, Mark, please feel free to pick up where you left off. And
well,
Let's wrap it up.
Well, you know, I think, you know, a lot, and I was having a conversation with a gentleman today about this whole concept of power and you, because you were saying you tell them young men that they need to take responsibility for themselves. The only problem, because see, you talk about domestic abuse. I've dealt with in the social services realm. I work with youth, you know, runaway and homeless youth between ages 18 and 21, and a lot of the and down here in Texas, there's a big movement to be clear about classifying prostitution as basically human trafficking and slavery. And it's a big move because of the fact that a lot of guys, I don't know if you've heard the phrase coyote, but these are people who basically they make their money off of bringing in illegal people to work in sweatshops as well as in the sex industry. And what we find out as far as abuse is concerned, I mean, on all levels, fear, no doubt about it, alienation from friends and relatives, another element. Also, looking at the issue of the ultimate issue, you know, someone being hurt, physically hurt, other family members being physically hurt, because abusers have a tendency, because whenever they feel that their power base is about to be snatched, they become even more abusive, you know, and more willing to cause mayhem on
Jennifer Hudson's situation, yes.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so again, but the thing about talking to young men, and that's my specialty, young men, me and this guy were talking about the fact that in New Orleans, which is, you know, right next door to us here in Houston, we were just talking about some of the young men are out there, you know, shooting each other, doing the various things they're doing, and I said, well, you got to understand, you know, when a young man believes that this is what he does is defining him.
Right.
Then it becomes, again, because if I don't know who I am,
right,
if I have not understood who I am, then I allow these things to define me. So
find who I am.
My girlfriend, my wife, my significant other becomes an extension of who I am. And the
right.
fear that I have about losing who I am by virtue of losing control of who my girlfriend, whatever it is, so she says she's going to leave, or she differs opinion from me, or whatever the case may be, I automatically am in fear. And when I'm in fear, I will do whatever it takes to maintain
control.
That semblance of control, because
right.
without that, I don't know who I am. That's what that's my narrative anyway. That's what I believe.
Well, let me build on that in terms of what Rhett said earlier. What Jericho Road has also tried to do is try to have seminars dealing with men in terms of domestic violence, because, like you said, if you don't, the problem is not solved unless you include them. And I'm saying to myself, then the issue is you can take the women and the child out the home, but if you leave him loose, he just going to find somebody else to do it. So the goal is to get to him. And what we're Jericho is we're having seminars geared toward men. And what I've been trying to do in the Brooklyn area is I've been going to churches. I've been going to churches and saying, recruiting the men in those churches and saying, look, we need to put something together. Whether it's a group session, and maybe some men need a more deeper type of thing, but we need to let people know that going to a therapist is okay. Speaking out and creating a environment where there's no judgment done, where men can actually speak or young men can speak and not feel judged. Because that's the whole point. My definition of my manhood means I don't share what I feel. A lot of that is part of it. And redefining what true manhood really is and letting them see this is not the definition you think it is only destroying you. And begin to change the mindset. See, knowledge translates into authority. You can only be authoritative if you have knowledge. And that goes back to the same word you used earlier, Sabrina, empowerment. So if we bring knowledge, and if you're open to it, I think we can make a difference. But the redefinition of men must be defined, redefined, because it is destroying a lot of our men, it's destroying a lot of relationships, and it's destroying even the children that's coming out of those relationships. So the point of the matter is, where do we stop it? So Jericho, we are striving to approach different men and say, look,
let's get together and try to bring this. I even spoke to a psychiatrist, maybe trying to do something where we try to bring collective effort and trying to get our men help. Because I think one of the problems in finding manhood is that we don't show our emotions. And because we don't show our emotions, we keep it in, and it comes out angry, and it comes out lashing out, and it comes out fighting, and it comes out violent. Because why you didn't release it?
Well, you know what?
Most of the men that's in prison is because they're hurting, not because they want to be violent. They're hurting. And nobody said, yeah.
I like to piggyback off of that and just say this one, which is kind of interesting you would say that, because I'm a big advocate for psychological services. Again, that's
I'm so glad,
that's
because I think in our community it's such a taboo
with the people in our community for that. Well, it's taboo. It's not as it was 10 years ago, I can tell you that much, when I was first starting to realize that we were seeing the onset of schizophrenia in young black men just rise, and we didn't understand a lot of stuff, and then we started finding out the levels of THC in marijuana was causing early onset for those who had predispositions for it, and we started looking at levels of bipolar, and we started looking at just depression in general, and how we were running that homelessness was caused, some of the higher levels of homelessness, especially amongst teens, happen because usually they're homeless because they can't function in a structured environment. And so that means at home or various other places, they get kicked out. So now they're homeless, but most of that is because of mental illness and their desire to try to work it out. And they can't work within those structures, those traditional structures, because they have, issues when it comes to coping and dealing, because they have some problems. But when you start talking about domestic violence, and there's a direct correlation between domestic violence and violence in general, but the thing about manhood is a primal, primitive piece that we have to understand, that they have to learn how to refocus, because in the field out there fighting and trying to, apprehend deer or other things out there in the hunting realm, the hunter gatherer.
Right.
You can't have emotions in a hunting environment.
Right.
You gotta have
what they do in their outside environment. They bring it in home.
Right. Well, the whole thing is men in general, even in the work world, whatever, we're not supposed to have those emotions, but it's a good reason, because when I'm at war, for instance, or I'm in an issue where I have to have intense concentration, I can't be very emotional. The problem is, which psychiatrists will talk about, is understanding how everything has a place. And so now when I come home, or when I come out of that environment, now I can make certain adjustments. But sometimes it's hard to make those shifts. You know what I'm saying? So now you have a man that needs to be able to employ a certain type of conduct and a certain level of emotional balance. He can't do it. He can't do it.
Right.
Or he feels shamed to do it, so to speak. So now, even when he does it, he feels bad about it, because now I'm soft.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
what he thinks is soft.
What do you think is soft? Because it's not about being soft. It's about understanding how to be what you need to be in certain circumstances. Understanding that this is a whole, that you're the whole piece. It's kind of like the whole issue of the feminine and the masculine, meaning that men and women have feminine and masculinity inside of both of them, and you have to know when to utilize
those
pieces. But again, that goes back to what you're talking about with your group. That goes back to the work that I do here in Houston. And it goes back to the fact that we have to have these dialogues. But here's the cool part about it. By virtue of the fact that we're doing this on the show, you do what you do, I have the hope that if I'm doing it, I'm not an anomaly. So that means somebody else is doing it. Just by virtue of this conversation, it lets me know that somewhere else, this conversation is going on as we speak. So that's the beauty of it for me.
And you're absolutely
very much so.
Right. That is the beauty of it. And Carl, at this point, I want to give you the opportunity to tell us about your upcoming event for Jericho Rose, the fundraising that you're trying to do. And I'm so sorry that your colleague didn't have the opportunity to participate in this dialogue, but believe me, we are going to have you back, because if you were listening earlier, we're going to have a 2-hour show just on domestic violence, and you will be a part of the panel.
No problem.
This is not a This is definitely not a 45-minute conversation.
No, it's not.
and it's not a one-part conversation. We're going to have a couple of shows about this, and I'd like you to participate, you know, regularly. So tell us about the fundraising effort and initiative that you're trying to spearhead for Jericho Roads.
Okay, what we're doing on Saturday, October 27th, we will be having a domestic violence walkathon in Battery Park in New York City. That's in Lower Manhattan, over there, Wall Street area. And the proceeds are going toward our domestic violence scholarship fund. So it's a high school students who may have been in a domestic violence situation, students, young people who are graduating from high school, but they're excelling in school, but we want to give them a little more encouragement to continue to excel. Or adults who may have been in domestic violence situations and want to further their education. So the proceeds will give them scholarships, whether it's to buy a computer, buy some books, it's to help them. So the proceeds will go toward our domestic violence scholarship fund.
Well, that's wonderful. Well,
okay, so October
27th.
I think that is really awesome.
That is something that is definitely something that the community at large needs. We need to reinforce. We definitely need to do anything that we can do to reinforce the efforts of young people who are subject to domestic violence but are still trying to become productive human beings by going to school and getting good grades. And every effort that we could put forward to aiding people such as Carl Joseph and any other domestic violence organization that you believe in and want to support, you need to do it because this is a very real issue that exists in all of our communities. It is not gender-specific, has nothing to do about race and where you live. It's happening here in this country. It's happening all over the world. And believe me, it's happened from the beginning of time. So having said that, at this time I want to thank you, Carl, for being on our panel tonight. And
you're
I don't want
welcome.
You to hang up because our next segment is going to be very interesting. We're going to be joined by Derek. He is a subject in my upcoming book that's going to be released in January 2013 regarding internet dating. I'm still searching for the title. So, you know, again, people who are out there listening, I want you to call in. I want you to call. Yeah, definitely call in 424-220-1862. And if you have any ideas for what the name of my book should be, drop me a line at BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. But in the meanwhile,
can I mention if they want to register or if they want more information? It's
please. Yeah, we need to know all of that.
Yeah, it's www.jerichoroaddv.org. That's the website where you can register for the walk. www.jerichoroaddv.org. And I thank you for having me on the show.
Say it one more time. Three times is the charm.
www.jerichoroaddv.org. Jericho is spelled JERICHO roaddv.org.
Wonderful. Well, again, Carl, we want to thank you for participating. Don't hang up. Stay tuned. We're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined with Derek.
Thank you, Carl.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Pleasure to meet you. Looking forward to meeting
you.
Hope to see you all at the walk, too.
Okay,
yeah.
Take care.
You'll see me next week. I will be participating in the walk. And I'm going to put it up on my page. I'm going to continue to run it every day on my page up until the day of the walk where people
thank you so much.
Come in and participate and donate because it's a real important cause.
Thank you.
So hang on, Carl.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
And at this time, we're going to go to a commercial break. We're coming back with Mark in Houston, Texas, and Red Sable, both my co-hosts tonight for the Bree Life Radio Show. So stay tuned.
It's the Bree Life Show.
You gotta turn it on.
When Bree Life Show.
You gotta turn it on.
It's the Bree Life Show.
You gotta turn it on. The Bree Life. You gotta turn it on.
It's the Bree Life Show.
You gotta turn it on.
When Bree Life Show.
You gotta turn it on.
It's the Bree Life Show.
You gotta turn it on. The Bree Life. You gotta turn her on.
Tune in Wednesday and Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, for Real Talk about Real Life. Inhale and breathe light. It's the Bree Life Radio Show on blogtalkradio.com/BRILIFE.
It's the Bree Life Show.
Breathe Light, welcome back to the Bree Life.
That's right, you heard it, people. Welcome back, Bree Life Radio Show. I'm your host, Bree, and tonight I'm joined with Red Sable and Mark in Houston, Texas, both my co-hosts, bookends. What a great place to be, in between, two great people to be in between. Thank you both tonight for participating.
You're welcome.
Yeah, yeah.
And as you just previously heard, we were joined earlier with Carl Joseph of Jericho Road Domestic Violence Organization. You'll be able to go on my page and see his to see the very worthy cause that he is spearheading to be able to raise funds for his domestic violence organization. Now, at this time, the next segment is going to be about a topic that has been near and dear to me for the past 10 years because I've been participating in it, and that is internet dating. And I wrote a book about it. Want to hear it? Here it goes. No, just a joke. But you're actually going to hear from one of the people who are a subject in my book, and his name is Derek, and we've been very good friends. We actually met in 2003, so we've been friends almost 10 years now. And without further ado, I want to bring one of the most well-dressed, suave bola brothers that I know on this side of creation. And his name would be Derek. Derek.
Hello.
Peace and blessings. You are finally on the Bree Life Radio Show. How
are
you doing
amazing
tonight?
And what an amazing show it's been. I have totally enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. I want to introduce you to my co-host. We have Red Sable.
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
All right.
And Mark in Houston, Texas.
What's up, Mark?
Well,
how are you?
I'm well. Yourself? And yourself?
I'm wonderful.
Well, Derek, we've talked about this quite a bit. This book that I've been trying to complete, now I'm coming to its completion. Hallelujah! At the end of this month, and you are one of the people who are highlighted in the book.
Wow, flattering.
Why don't you tell us about, without disclosing the internet dating website that we met on, why don't you tell us a little bit about your internet dating experiences? How long have you been doing it? You know, just give us some background.
Well, I've been doing it since about 2001. I was on the road with Homeland Security, traveling the country, training airline screeners in various different states. And I would receive emails from various dating sites. I didn't think much of it at the time. But, you know, we would go away and we would spend 3 weeks to 4 weeks at each site and each airport location. And the guys that were on my team, you know, they would fly their wives in and this and that and the other. And I didn't have a girlfriend, so I was just there. So, you know, I'm a kind of sharp brother. I like to hang out and do all those things. And I said, well, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. You know, I'm just going to let it go. But I kept getting notes from these guys, and they would say, well, you know, it's free to join this, that, and the other. But then to communicate, it would cost $10. I'm like, I'm definitely not going to be held hostage by no website. So I blew it off. And then one day, you know, time went by. Probably 4 or 6 months later, I was home. I was off the road. And then, you know, I kept getting those emails, and I went on, and I said, well, you know, it's only $10. What the heck? I'm bored. I ain't got nothing to do. It's not like I'm going to, you know, blow the budget or anything. So I went ahead and I spent the $10 and I joined. I was apprehensive and all that stuff, but, you know, I'm joined. And I put a couple photos up because I know I'm kind of short. So I put a couple photos up.
And humble.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, first attractions are always physical. I mean, I know who I am and what I do. And, you know, I'm a little bit older, so some things I don't do as well as I used to. And there's a lot of other things that I do very well and even better. And I know exactly what those are. So I cater to my strengths and I'm cognizant of my weakness. So I put the photos up and, you know, I started getting notes from people. But I really didn't say much. You know, I just said, okay, whatever, whatever. And then, you know, I started responding. And, I mean, I don't want to, I mean, we all like what we like. There was nothing wrong with them. They were just not right for me from a physical standpoint. I mean, I'm a man. So, you know, men are visual. You know, if you're not looking good to me, I'm not going to hear a whole lot you have to say. I understand we all can't be beautiful. And some of us, you know, we all like what we like. I'm not even going to pretend I don't like what I like. Okay?
Right.
And if it ain't what I like, it's not going to work. It's just really a waste of time. I'll try to work with you, but in the end, it probably won't. So anyway, I joined and I started getting letters and notes from people. And then I started responding. And, you know,
okay.
It's just like dating on the street. I mean, you know, it's hit and miss. It's no different.
Well,
you know, you're going to win some,
you're
going to lose some.
My first question to you is, going back to 2001, because I didn't become familiar with internet dating until 2003.
Right.
Would it happen to be the same website that you and I initially met on? That you're referencing?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. And overall, what's been your worst experience? You have 12 years in. You have 12 years vested. I don't know if you still internet dating, but if you are, it's something that you've been doing off and on for 12 years. Hey, what's been going on? I mean, and
all right.
You know, what's been your worst experience before we get to the good stuff?
Okay, yes, I have been actively internet dating for 12 years. I can't say that I have met a woman on the street and dated her since I got on the internet. I really haven't. So
wow.
I have a long history with that. Yeah, I've been actively internet dating for a very long time. I personally enjoy it. It has its advantages and it has its disadvantages.
Uh-huh.
As relates to my worst experience,
Tell us your worst experience.
Well, I can tell you my worst date because I can't say I've had a lot of worst experiences. But I've had
okay.
a terrible date or two here and there. There's a stigma attached to internet dating, and some people are ashamed to do it, and, you know, things like that. So what happens is someone may be curious about internet dating. And when you're dating in that environment, in that arena, you should definitely be careful, both women and men, but women more particular, because there's all kinds of horror stories out there about this thing. So this young lady was internet dating, and, you know, we ran across each other, and she was very aggressive, you know, and all that stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, since she's playing hardball, let's release her out, you know, see what's going on. So I went on, and we talked, and, you know, the conversation grew. We talked more and more. And I guess probably within a month or so, no, it wasn't much more than a month, I went to go visit. She lived in Ohio. Now, the thing about it is, what happened was she started talking to her friends. And some of my friends have a problem with internet dating. Well, why are you on the internet? You can't do no better than that. This, that, and other. And you would be surprised the quality of women, including yourself, that is on the internet. You have no idea. Some of them, hey, you know I love you. Some of the most powerful, most beautiful single women who are looking for a man are on the internet. And they're right there just waiting for somebody to reach out and grab them. Now, some of them are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. We can't say that they're not. But others are, it's amazing. You have no idea. And I've dated across to lie, from the very best to not so good. So anyway, I went to Ohio to meet this young lady, and what happened was she had been talking to her family. So she got, I don't know how I would put it, not apprehensive, but felt she needed to prove to them that what she was doing and her internet thing was a good thing. So I say that probably somebody got in the ear and said, you crazy for internet dating. You inviting somebody to your house. Da, 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 da. I'm sure that's what happened because I know those conversations exist. So I personally, anywhere I go, I'm going to put up the best front. I'm going to do it big because I'm a big guy. I do everything big. You know, I'm the kind mama says you can bring home. So we're going to go home and meet mama. Well, what ended up happening was that I ended up feeling like a monkey in a circus, a clown or something. You know, we spent so much time running around to different people and her friends so she could show me off type of thing. Now, I don't mind representing, and I believe that you're supposed to be represented, but I don't want to feel like I'm being showed off. You know, we didn't spend a lot of time chilling with each other as much as we did running around showing me off to this person, to that person, to that person. You know, again, I don't have a problem with it, but it just went too far to the point where it just got on my nerves.
I'm sorry. I have some questions, and I see time is just going. I'm wondering, because 12 years is a long, long time to be using a particular type of vehicle to date. And so my question is, are you using this as a vehicle to just have fun, socialize, and is it your only form of social entertainment? And then the second part of that question is, have you found your way into having any type of real relationship over the past 12 years with anyone, or are you even looking for that? I thought that the purpose of being able to date is to eventually find the connection with someone and to build on that. But it seems to me that you're just venturing into serial dating one after another over a course of 12 years, only to regain social entertainment activities and experiences, and then that's it. So I'm just a little curious as to where it's going.
Okay, well, to the first part, all of the above. I use it for dating. I use it for socializing. I use it for networking. I bumped into friends that I haven't seen in a long time. I use it for everything, not just dating. As relates to dating and doing it for so long, I've had a relationship or two there, one that lasted 7 years, one that lasted about 3, and I'm currently planning to marry the host of this show. Now, so at that point, we'll talk it up to success then.
Okay.
This has been a successful
vehicle. And the only reason why I'm asking is because I wouldn't, this is not a vehicle that I would use, only because I am not that bold, nor am I that brave, because, you know, you just don't know what you're getting in these situations when you meet these people and they tell you all these kinds of stories. And I recently saw an interview with Jessica Fox, who said the same thing. He said, you know, they asked her, well, you know, internet dating has been successful for years for many people. Why don't you try that? And she said the same thing I said. No, because you get the representative that shows up who pretends to be one thing turns out to be something else. And no, I guess that's not my thing. I'm not trying to do that. And so that's why I was wondering, what is your success rate? Because 12 years is a very, very long time. But now since you are engaged and happy, then I see it has worked.
I want to say something. In Houston, Texas, I got to say, well, this has been just unbelievably enjoyable.
He's engaged?
I've been loving, especially the engagement part. I love it. That's tickling me. Hey, but did it.
We haven't gotten engaged yet, but I just informed you that I'm going to marry you. So, you know.
Oh, no, that's what I love it. I think that's the best way to do it. Anyway,
Hey, we ain't Felicia and Ahmad Rashad, man.
Right. You know, on Thanksgiving, you know, with the turkey and everything. Hey, but dig. So I'm listening to what the brother's saying, and I know, I'm glad he said what he said, because I hear what Red is saying, and I was waiting for, I mean, I know Bree one's going to say it. I don't know about Red and how Red has ever dated or anything, so I don't really know. I know that she has some very pronounced opinions about various things, and we have had a conversation about serial dating, monogamy, and she was on one of those shows before, so I kind of was waiting for her to jump in and jump at you. My thing is this. I, you know, and when you say you've dated over those years, I started getting involved in internet dating back in, 2003, 2004, somewhere up in there. And you know, what I find is that my goal ultimately, you know, while I knew it would be socializing, while I knew it would be some entertainment, I'm a man that wants to be with a woman. I would like for that to happen. And, you know, I'm thinking most of us, because most of the women I've met on there, they had an end game, and what the end game would have been if me and her could have hit it off, I would have been that guy, and I would have been off the market, and I wouldn't have been internet dating. So as a result, I met someone. I actually moved from Minneapolis and was in a 5-year relationship that brought me down to Houston based upon internet dating. And I've had, you know, and right now I am dating someone based upon internet dating. I've been dating her for about a month and a half or so. And the thing is this, I mean, I like what you said. I mean, it's just an extension. See, if humans are involved, this is what I always would like to say about the internet. The internet is a tool. If humans are involved, what
I'm
would
sorry,
make anybody?
If humans are involved, I don't see why.
People would think it would be that much different whether you connect with them, because the whole issue is people being honest and forthright. Well, if you go to a bar, a guy can tell you any story he want to tell you about how he got there, even if he says goodbye, goes around the corner, and jumps on a bus. He can tell you about a billing,
exactly.
He can tell you whatever he wants to tell you, because they do. We always have. Before
exactly.
We had the internet, we had lies. Lies did not start with the internet. False representing did not start with the internet. It is another vehicle where we may continue to do those things, but we always lie.
But that's not.
I think what happens.
But it's different. It's different than me going on a date with someone who I can physically look across the table at and see. I can read their body language. I can read their facial expressions. It is completely different than me having online conversations via email or text or Twitter or whatever that case may be. I can't read emotion through a piece of paper.
If I may just say something, and this is going to be in contrast to what Red is saying. You can, you know, sometimes when you are digging somebody, you get distracted by the fact that you are now in front of this person that you've been having dialogue with. So it's
exactly.
just the same thing as seeing
the
time.
I agree.
We choose to see what we want to see in any given moment. That's what gets us all jacked up. Okay.
Exactly.
Well, you know what?
I
will say this along with what you're saying. And I think it's something, you know this. Me and you have had at length conversations about this stuff. And the thing about it is, what I can promise people about internet, I can promise anybody that chooses to get involved with it, that if you go in with an open mind and a true desire to make a quality connection, if you use your level of discernment, even with print, because people think that just because you're typing and texting that you can't read something in the typing and texting. If you do it, trust me, I guarantee you the gentleman can attest to this. I know Bree can attest to this. You learn a lot. You understand how to read people through their writing, through their communicating, or through what they're not saying. Because when a person starts not wanting to hook up, after they say a lot of stuff, that says you a lot of stuff too.
Comes with time. But when you're starting out and you're trying to get to know someone, it is hard to read certain signals. I mean, if I'm on the phone with you and we're having a conversation, then yeah, there's certain things that I can pick up, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But if I lived over in California and we connected on the internet site, and the only way we can communicate is through various emails or other texting purposes. I don't know if you're telling me shut the hell up because you're joking, or shut the hell up because you really want me to shut the hell up.
May I chime in for a moment?
Shut the hell up, probably. That's probably what
please. Derek would like to say something.
If I want you to shut the hell up, I'm going to tell you that. Number one, right? I'm very open. I'm very straightforward. I shoot from the hip. I say what I mean. I mean what I say, and I'm not scared because I have nothing to lose by never talking to you again. If I never talk to you or write you another word, my life will still be the same. It's not going to change because I talk to you or
not. Saying this for the show. People, I just want you to know he's not just saying this for the show. This is why I are still friends today, because he's a shoot from the hip type of person, as I am. And now, which segues in to, because I know one of the things that Derek, he wants to have his 15 minutes of fame, okay? So things that I had to agree to in order for Derek to do this interview is to allow him to express what has gone on between he and I for the last 10 years. So, because the listeners, I know there's listeners out there, I'm already getting text messages. Well, what the hell happened? Derek, and for the listeners, I just want to let you know the show is going to go over. So if you are listening via the internet, call in so that you don't be disconnected from the show. And you would do that by calling into 424-220-1862. Now, having said that, Derek, you have the floor or the mic.
Okay, well, I'd like to go back for a minute to address Red's comment as far as communication. True indeed. If you and I don't have an opportunity to enjoy an interpersonal experience beyond typing and texting, it's not going to work anyway. You might as well be green with an eye in the middle of your head. So, however, the thing about internet dating is it allows us to interact without the physical distractions. Because if you're in front of me and you're looking good and you're smelling good, and I'm a man, my conversation is going to be a whole lot different. It's going to have a very short end game, and we all know what it's going to be. And yours may be, too. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, don't think that only men are the aggressor here. Women are just as aggressive. So, for me, what I do is I'll shoot you an email or two. I'll shoot you a text or two. And you're going to have to pick up that phone. Because I ain't got time to sit here texting and typing all day long. And that's where we're going to start now. If you're not the type, because there's lots of ways to get to where you're going. I got it down to a science. If you're apprehensive and you don't want to give me your phone number.
Exactly.
Listen,
Red, say it louder.
It's been 12 years. Of course you do. You should.
Well, it's been 12 years off and on. I've been in relationships for 4 or 5 years. They haven't been successful either. I mean, it's not my fault that they don't last. You know what I mean? If it don't last, you move on. I'm not going to be by myself. Because it didn't
last. There you go. I'm with you.
Yeah, so I get back on the horse and ride it again. I mean,
well, can I ask
everybody...
you something, Derek? Can I ask you real quick? I want to just say this real quick to go along with because Red said something. I want to say this, and now I'm out. I'm getting jumping out of this one because I don't want to get jumped on because I didn't have too many
I can have it.
I know you can. That's why I'm loving it. Cause I'm going to stick in this little piece and jump out. Red said something that's one of the biggest, I think, perceptions that's a myth. When she said, I'm talking to this guy over in California, and so. Let me tell you this. For every one person you talk to out of town, I can promise you, the majority of people you talk to, in most of our cases, are in town because we do want to have a quick opportunity to meet you. We don't want to have to wait or whatever. Now, if you're a traveling guy that's doing a lot of traveling, you might do some of that. But the majority of internet dating takes place within the area code that your phone number is in. I can promise you that. Because you want quicker, you want to meet the person. Trust me, you do. Because your end game is about trying to hook up. So you don't want to be doing a whole lot of from New York to Ohio to California to Mississippi. Trust me, you just really don't want to do that unless you own some other thing. But the majority of us are local, and I'm in and out of that one.
I did a California date, too.
I want to piggyback off of what Mark said to just expand to say, you know, I found in my own interactions on the internet dating sites that I've had better experiences communicating and actually connecting with someone if they didn't live in my respective state. That's so crazy.
Exactly.
It's not crazy, Bree. It's not. Why it's not crazy? Because when we do that, well, people. And this is what a guy. I remember this guy told me when I broke up with my girlfriend. Here, this is what he said. He said, if you want to expedite your relationship, talk to someone that's long distance. He said, why? Because what's going to happen is, and I agree with what he was saying. You have much more intense, long conversations. When you do date locally, if you meet somebody on the internet, guess what's going to happen? You are going to probably see them much quicker than you're going to see somebody in Topeka, Kansas. You feel me? So what's going to happen is there's going to be a lot. If you want to say it's lies, maybe it's lies, but it's going to be a lot of disclosure. There's going to be a lot of conversation. There's going to be lengthy conversations. Conversations may last for hours. So you have so much disclosure, and that disclosure starts making you, whether it's real or not, everybody can decide whatever they want to, endear you to that individual. And it's going to endear you, intrigue you, and draw you to them, and you're going to want to meet them. So you get a higher level of intensity with those individuals far away a lot of times than you do locally. Because locally, you can pretty much, I'm going to promise you, and there you might agree to this, I don't know, but when you do meet somebody locally, if I talk to you on Monday, and the conversation is going good by Wednesday, there's a good chance I'm going to meet you by Saturday. You see what I'm saying? Because we are, you know, it is what it is. We're going to meet somewhere. Hopefully, most of us, my game was always very, very public. I like very, very public. You know, I have different games I played. I had games. When I say games, I'm not talking about
gas station.
Person. The gas station game. I had a gas station game. Bree always laughs at it. I've done it so many times from when I was in Minneapolis to when I came down here. The bottom line is what I would do is this. I said, you know what? I want to make you feel comfortable. We're in the same neighborhood. I go to the gas station. I say, you what? This is the vehicle I'm driving. I'm going to get out. I'm going to pump gas. If you like what you see and you want to continue to, you want to take it beyond that, because you might have doubts that I am who I am. I'm confident even if you ain't saying who you are, I'm willing to meet you anyway. But you being a woman and might feel a little unsafe or whatever, I'm going to get out. I'm pumping the gas. I'm walking in. If by the time I get back to my car, you at my car, you blink your lights or whatever, then I figure you want to see me. If not, no harm, no foul.
I haven't said all of that. I don't
understand. I like to keep things as simple as possible, and that's.
I understand, but you know what? It's fun. It was fun. It was fun.
No,
was
not,
fun.
Okay. So having
I'm not saying that I'm internet dating or that I'm. Everyone has a choice. You have the right to do what you think is right for you and makes you comfortable and all of that great stuff. My curiosity was that if it's been 12 years and you're still using this as a vehicle in order for you to aspire to build or find a relationship that's going to become long-term and make you happy, then it makes me wonder why continue to use this vehicle because obviously it's not working. But then he would say, you know what, it's not that it doesn't work. Let me finish. Then he stated that he is now engaged to the host. So, therefore, it has become successful for him.
I love reading.
Maybe it's different for the women of like, from where I'm standing. This is very green for me. This is not something that I have thought about doing.
You gotta try it, Red. Come on, Red. We're gonna get you to do it.
That's why you feel the way you feel.
No,
the worst thing that can happen is we
be friends. I'll meet a
Mark,
and I'll be cussing him out by the time week three rolls around. So no, I can't.
But do this, Red. Check this out, though. I'm serious. If you talk to, because I have friends that have never internet dated, but over a 10-year span of time, they've had
one or two or three relationships, the same amount that I had, and I use internet dating. So my point is this, whatever vehicle you use to meet men, you use to meet men. And you, I promise you, your success rate probably ain't no different than a person that does use the internet. Because
I'm not saying that it is or that it isn't. I'm just saying that in you and Breeze and their experiences completely different from mine. You guys are comfortable with that. I am comfortable with you seeing the vehicle as networking, business connections, and that type of arena. So I'll do Facebook and all that stuff all day.
We still have the same mediums
and want to look for a relationship in those same mediums. That's what I'm saying. There's a separation for me.
Well, see, I don't look for anything. I make myself available to the experience. I'm not looking for nothing.
I don't look for anything. Listen, Mark, that's why I'm a bowler. It will find me.
Anything that's for me is going to come to me. I don't have to look for it. I just have to make myself available for the experience. Furthermore, if all I'm going to do is limit myself to what's geographically available to me, then I'm really limiting myself. The woman of my dreams at this point happens to be in New York.
Yeah,
she could be in Wazoo, in Zulu, New Mexico, and I've been there on a date.
She could be anywhere.
So if I don't open myself up to it, and there was a point in time where you could get anywhere for $99 each way, Southwest, where bags line free.
You missed saying she could be a radio host.
She is. And so, I mean, you know, it's just the way it works out. I mean, you know, people tend to date what's available to them geographically. They do what's acceptable and what they're comfortable with. I'm a very open person. My personality is open. I'm never scared. I'm open-minded. I'm open personally. And I meet people all the time. Not all of them do I date. Not all of them do I talk to.
Okay. But that's not... What you're saying is you're making it seem like everyone that's within my geographic area is from my geographic area. They're not. I meet people all the time, and they don't necessarily live in New York. I didn't mean you in general.
I didn't mean you personally. I meant just everybody as a whole.
Right. But I'm saying I have to relate it to me because it's my experience that I'm talking about. So what I'm saying
is that's fine. But did you know the statistics say that very few of us rarely venture more than 50 miles from home?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's true. Did you know that?
I travel, and I understand that, but I do travel. I mean, in your travels, you don't always, right in your hometown right now, you could meet a woman that's sitting across from you who's not from your hometown. She could be visiting. She could be from anywhere. And then you and her hit it off, and you find out that she lives in Mississippi somewhere.
I'm cool with that.
I'm not saying that I'm not open to experiences. I'm just not.
She's not going to use it. We know it. I know you ain't going to use it, but I just would love to see you use it bad.
Here's what we're going to do now. We are going to allow Derek to have his 15 minutes of fame because I'm a woman of my word. That's one of the reasons why he likes me. And we're going to allow him to express what the 10-year, and please, Mark and Red, feel free to ask him.
I just want
to
say this. I want to say this, Bree, because I got to go. I just started a new job. I got to get up, and it's crazy. But anyway, I love talking to Derek. I always love talking to Bree. And I love being on the Breathe Life show. So it's been a beautiful thing. You know, we still breathe light. Sometimes I'm a little heavy, but, you know, hey, that's just my opinion. In any case, I love all of y'all. You know, we're going to hook up and we're going to do this again. Peace, love, blessings to everybody. The Breathe Life show.
But hold on, brother, before you go right quick. I have a date coming to see me Friday from Houston.
Hey, H-Town, where we put it down, baby. Be careful.
All right, bro.
You might have a gun. Because they carry me. They come lock and loaded down here.
Yes, they do shoot.
Yeah, they will shoot. That's right. Yeah. Hey, y'all, I'm out of here.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you, Mark.
Now, where were we? what we did.
So, Derek, you see, please feel free at this time, as we're going to wrap up the show, to have your 15 minutes of fame to say everything you wanted to say on the air. That talks about, you know, how we came to be friends and what happened, you know, in the 10-year period, 10 out of your 11, 12-year period of time that you've been internet dating.
Well, as far as what happened, life happened. It happens to everybody.
Right.
We met at a transitional time for both of us. You were transitioning with some things, and I was transitioning together, and we just connected and started talking and talking and talking. And life happened, like you said, you know, whatever you were dealing with, you were dealing with, and whatever I was dealing with, I was dealing with. But we always stayed connected somehow. You know, we always found each other. If we, you know, stopped talking, you know, some way you would find me or some way I would come back to you. So we just kept reconnecting. Never be in a physical level, never anything sexual or anything like that. We just connected as friends, and we maintained that close connection for all these years. As relates to us finally getting together, you just happened to be in the right place at the right time. A lot of this stuff is still chance and all that stuff. It's no different than meeting anyone on the street. It just has advantages, and the advantages that I see work for me, you know, because I don't want to spend a whole lot of time in the company of someone that I don't really want to be with or that I don't like. I can talk to you one time and know if I'm ever going to talk to you again. You know, I can decide right then and there. I don't need to get up and go meet you somewhere and do all that to decide that I don't like you. Because if I'm not going to like you, I'm not going to like you. Showing up ain't going to make that change. It's just not going to change. And I can find that out from a conversation. You have to be an astute observer, a good listener. You have to listen and watch for patterns and things of that nature. A lot goes into it. It's not just some clown thing that you just do. Now, there are those who do it, but I'm not one of those. I pay very close attention. I listen very intently. I listen to the stories because we all have a story, you know, we all want to talk. It's our innate nature to talk to someone. We just want to talk to someone that we believe respects what it is we have to say. So I'm that ultimate listener, and I'll let you tell your story, and I'll listen to them, and I won't judge you or anything. And then you'll tell me your stories, and we'll talk more and more, and they'll either change or they'll stay the same. And you just listen for those subtleties and nuances in the conversation. I mean, as you know, I went to school for criminal justice. I've been involved in law enforcement and security for over 20-something years. So I've heard it all, seen it all, done it all, and judged it all. So when you're talking to me, you need to be careful because I'm very much listening. But back to you and I. Our lives have changed. Our lives have changed so much because during that time that we were friends, I got into a relationship. And I was in that relationship, 5 years or so? Mm-hmm. You know, 5 years or so with a young lady that I had met on the internet. And we were together. She lived probably about an hour from me, exactly. And we were in a relationship, a serious relationship. We was using the M word, the L word, and every other word you could possibly imagine. And that still didn't pan out. So during that time, you and I we've never been estranged. It's just that I respect you and you respect me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, if we're single and free, then we have a different conversation. You know, if we're committed and this and that and other, then we just talk about what's going on at that point in time. So you and I have a long history of respect and things like that that supersedes anything crazy. You know what I mean? Because, again, at the end of the day, no matter what happens, we're probably always going to be friends. I already told you, I love you. All you got to do is say, okay, I got the minister lined up, everything. We just got to put the date on the calendar.
Same last name.
And it's on. Yeah, same last name.
Red, here's the deal, Red. We've known one another for 10 years. We have the same mm-hmm. last name. We same type of dress, you know, we dress the same, you know, we have the same type of temperament. Everything is the same. Derek keeps saying that. All I have to do is say okay. I don't even have to change my name. No paperwork. Just do the damn thing. But I mean, you know, that's all in fun, but what I do want to say as we're wrapping up the show, one, I want to invite you to come back on the show. If you have time tomorrow, we do Freestyle Thursdays, and it's an opportunity to discuss anything off the top of your head, anything that's pressing on your heart, on your mind, you know, and you can, again, on the air, ask me to marry you, you know, if that's so what you feel. But what I want the listeners to know is that this is my very good friend, Derek. We have a great friendship, and this is one of the great things that can happen as a result of internet dating. Everybody who you meet, whether it's walking in the street by chance, or by chance on the internet, you never know. You can wind up with a lifelong friend. This man on the other end has, you know, helped me through some very, very rough times, helped me through a bad relationship. You know, he's a good person. And, you know, timing is what it is. But all I want to say is that I am one of the bright spots of my book. Derek is the subject matter because he knows how to put a smile on your face. He's firm but fair. He says the things that need to be said, you know, straight no chaser, and that's why I love him, and that's why we always going to be friends. So indeed. I want to thank you, Derek, for, you know, me allowing me to put you on blast and participate.
It's been an honor and a privilege.
On the show. And we want to welcome you back to a future show. You feel free to call in tomorrow, Freestyle Thursday. It's off the hook, and you fit in perfect. So, and I just want to thank our listening audience and for continually supporting the Bree Life Radio Show. I can't do it without you people, and I just want to send you all a peace and blessings. I want to thank my co-host, the lovely Red Sable, for, you know, stepping up to the plate and, you know, ride or die with me on my first show back. Thank you. Thank you so very much. And, again, in parting, I want to wish you all peace and blessings. And ask that you join us tomorrow on the Bree Life Radio Show for Freestyle Thursdays. And Freestyle Thursdays are now going to include Throwback Thursdays. That means that contact me as early as you possibly can before I go on air, because if there's a song from the 60s, 70s, 80s, or 90s that you want to hear during our commercial break, if you got a request and a dedication, please feel free to send it to me in advance. So I love you, and I'm out.
Have a good night.
Peace.
Good night.
Yeah, yeah. A-Dream in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look.
Yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest. Yeah. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the next connection, we streaming you to Mexico.
So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down the next shit to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.